the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing some praises to our awesome God.
Tweedledee, tweedledee, flying up so high. Tweedledee, tweedledee,
Jesus. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Daylight! Daylight! At land, leeward!
See any known landmarks?
No, Skipper. I've never been here before.
Probably an island. Wonder which one.
Skipper, there's a creek. It's big enough, and it has a sandy shore to thrust the ship into, if we can maneuver it that well. Now, wisely, you let out only the aft anchors, so we are pointed directly at the creek head.
We'll try for it. All hands at their stations. Mate, have your men ready to hoist the foresail. Also be ready to cut the rudder bands and the anchor ropes. You yourself handle the rudders. Hoist the foresail! Loose the rudders! Cut the anchors! She's moving! 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 Yeah. All right, now! Leeward, 2 degrees, mate!
She doesn't respond! She's lodged between some rocks, skipper!
All hands to the foredeck! Hurry! Apart by the waves.
I think everybody got safely to the bow.
I hope so.
Well, I'm sure they did.
Captain Julius, sir. Each soldier is responsible for the prisoner he guards. We suggest, sir, that all prisoners be put to death so that none escape.
The law permits that, I know, soldier. But my orders are that none of the prisoners will be put to death. You and the other soldiers are responsible for only one prisoner. I am responsible for all.
You would risk your life to save the lives of criminals?
They are not all criminals.
Paul?
Yes, Paul, for one. We owe him our lives. His God saved him from the angry sea, and us also because of him.
Yes, sir.
Each soldier will now unlock and remove the chain from his prisoner. Now, all soldiers and prisoners who can swim, stand over here. The rest of you, I gather, cannot swim. All who can swim, move to the leeward side of the deck. You are to swim to shore. Then those who cannot swim will jump in, find pieces of the broken ship, logs, or whatever they can, and start for shore. Those who are already there will go out in the breakers and help those who can't swim. Now, that's an order. Those who can swim, ready. Jump in the water! Jump! They got to shore. Every one of them. They're waiting for the rest of you. Now do the best you can. You'll make it. Ready? Jump!
Sir, all soldiers and prisoners present and accounted for.
Fine. Now, we're all alive and safe on shore. Cold in this rain, but safe.
I never thought I'd be on land again. Sir, should we again fasten the chains on the prisoners?
I wish it weren't necessary, but the law says that a prisoner headed for Rome must be chained to a guard every minute of every day. So, well, fasten your chains to your prisoners.
Does anyone know where we are?
Well, several men came out of the bushes. The skipper's gone to meet them.
Well, I hope they're civilized, friendly enough not to attack us.
Julius, you need not worry about those people. They're friendly. See, they smile and welcome the captain. Oh, now he's bringing them here.
I hope they have a dry and warm place. I'm about to freeze.
Well, sir, we could build a fire. Anyone here have a flint? No, I guess not.
Well, certainly our host can start a fire.
Folks, this is the ruler of this part of the island.
Over the way, this is the island of Malta, south of Sicily and about 200 miles south of the tip of Italy. Oh, not too far off course.
Welcome to our island. You are wet and cold. We will build some fires.
Oh, he read my mind.
My people will start some fires. My people will help. You can get warm.
All right, all of you, get busy and help. We may have to stay here until spring, so we don't want to wear out our welcome.
I'll try to find some dry wood. I found a few sticks. I'll put them on the fire.
Ouch! A snake! A viper! It's poisonous. Now shake him off your hand, please. Quickly, you'll die.
Well, there, into the fire he goes.
See the chains? He's a prisoner, maybe a murderer. He escaped the mad sea, but the gods say he must die. That snake bit him.
Continue the Bible story tomorrow, and if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Really?
What?
Prayer is talking to God.
You figured that out all by yourself, did you?
Let me explain. When you pray, you're talking to God. You know, the creator of the entire universe. The greatest power that exists. No one knows more than God does.
So?
Well, whenever you have a problem, you're supposed to get help. Right?
Right.
Like, if you're sick, you want the best doctor. Right?
Right.
And if your car breaks down, you want the best mechanic. Right?
Right.
And if you're hungry, you want the best cook to fix you food, like my mom. Right?
So
when you have a problem, a serious problem, like you're worried about something, or scared about something, or someone is mean to you, you want to find the best help there is. That would be God.
Carlos, are you worried about something?
No.
Are you scared about something?
No.
Is someone mean to you?
No.
So why do you need to pray?
I'm just saying that praying is like reminding yourself that there's someone just waiting to help you when you have a serious problem. Like when something bad happens, you can say, "Hey God, I'm your old friend, and I have a serious problem." And he's ready to give you some good ideas on how to deal with it.
In other words, praying is like keeping the door to heaven open?
Wow. That's beautiful, Dora.
Hey, I can figure things out too, you know.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He's interested in everything we do and longs to be included in our lives. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
And boys and girls. This is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Chapter 2, Underground Railroad. That was pretty scary yesterday, wasn't it? Maria said when she and Chris met up with Sammy and Dee Dee on the playground before school. Yeah, but I feel guilty for going into Mr. Chambers' house, Sammy said. That wasn't right. We were trespassing. I asked God to forgive me. I guess you're right, Dee Dee said, but the thought of ringing the bell and seeing Mr. Chambers up close was just too scary. Besides, Maria said, you didn't really go in, only your arm did. I think it was still wrong not to ask, Sammy replied. Well, Chris said, if Maria would learn how to pitch the ball right, we wouldn't hit toward the house. A lot you know about hitting the ball, too, Maria said. Chris ignored his sister and turned to Sammy. What was it you were telling us about the round window last night, he asked. You said something was really strange about the house. Sammy explained how the round window they could see from outside the house couldn't be seen inside the kitchen. But the window was only a few feet away from the window I was in, Sammy said, and there was no door in the kitchen leading to another room at the back of the house. He also explained how the back wall had two kinds of wallpaper on it. It almost looks like somebody extended the wall one time but couldn't find the same wallpaper to match. Maybe someone built a room off the kitchen with an outside entrance, Dee Dee suggested. Uh-uh, Chris shook his head. Once I had to look for a ball that went into the trees behind the house. I was all along the back of the house. There's no back door. That's why I said it was a weird house, Sammy said. That round window has to open up somewhere inside. Just then the bell rang and the kids filed into their classrooms. Sammy liked school. He liked to learn new things. Sammy really liked to read about history. His favorite period of history was the Civil War in the 1860s when the North fought the South over the issue of slavery. They were studying about the slaves in history class. Listen up, class, Mrs. Parker said. We've been learning about how the slaves lived on the southern plantations. We've discussed their long work days and about how they were frequently mistreated simply because they were black. The white plantation owners didn't think the black people were as good as they were. These wrong beliefs and hatred of the black people were then passed on from generation to generation. Yes, Sammy? But why didn't the slaves just leave the plantations if they were mistreated, he asked. That's a good question, Mrs. Parker said. But they couldn't leave. They were owned by the plantation owners and couldn't leave unless the owners freed them or gave up ownership of them. That was the law at that time. But why, Sammy insisted, didn't they try to sneak away? That, Mrs. Parker answered, is exactly what we're going to talk about today, the Underground Railroad. A railroad that went underground? Maria asked. Mrs. Parker smiled. No, it wasn't a real railroad at all. Underground meant it was secret. It was really a series of safe houses that a runaway slave could hide in as he made his way from the southern slave states of Virginia, the Carolinas, and Georgia, to free states in the north, such as Pennsylvania and New York. Slavery was illegal in the north, so if a slave made it there, he was safe. But couldn't the slaves be found at these houses? Maria questioned. I mean, the slave owners would be looking for the escaped slaves. Couldn't they just check inside all the houses in the area? That thought occurred to the people who hid slaves in their houses, Mrs. Parker answered. That's why these people often made secret entrances into their houses so no one could see the slaves come in. Many also made secret hiding places for the slaves to stay out of sight. Some even created secret rooms in their houses or barns. Bells and whistles went off inside Sammy's head. A secret room! That's what is wrong with Mr. Chambers' house, he thought. There must be a hidden room between the kitchen and the back of his house, right where the small round window is located, and where the wall curved and the two wallpapers met must be where a room has been added on. But why? There was never an underground railroad in this area. Why would anybody need a secret room? Sammy! Sammy! Mrs. Parker called. Sammy jumped. He had lost track of the class discussion. Sammy, Mrs. Parker said, I was asking the class if anyone would like to do a report on secret hiding places and rooms of the Underground Railroad. When you didn't raise your hand, I knew you hadn't heard me. Would you like to do the report? It will count as extra credit. Sure, Sammy said. He didn't care about the extra credit. He planned to do research at the library about secret rooms anyway. In the lunchroom, Sammy and Maria found Chris and Dee Dee, and they sat down at a table together. Sammy told Chris and Dee Dee what he and Maria learned in history class that morning about the Underground Railroad. They used secret rooms to hide the runaway slaves, Sammy said. And you know that little window opens up somewhere inside Mr. Chambers' house. Why don't you all come to the library with me after school? I'm doing a report on secret rooms in houses that were part of the Underground Railroad. And maybe we'll learn something about secret rooms in houses in this part of the country. Dee Dee, Chris, and Maria looked blankly at Sammy. What do you care about secret rooms in Mill Valley houses? Maria asked. Sammy sighed. Because, he said, I think there's a secret room in Mr. Chambers' house.
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 9, The Secret of the Hidden Room, written by Nancy Speck, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.